The scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, and I'm reading from the New King James. If you want to read along when you have it, please say amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. The wind and the wave obey Jesus. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now then, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen.
I'll be singing the hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This?" It's hymn number 162. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul? To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I Am, while millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be, and through eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on, and through eternity I'll sing on.
Brother Williams will be back up in just a moment. Just to give you a little bit of introduction, he is from Capital City. As I said during the prayer, his wife is ill today, so I ask that you each keep him in your prayers and keep his wife in your prayers as well. We are happy to have him here. I think while we're waiting, I'm going to share a little bit of my experience in Washington with you. How many of you here have been to professional conferences before? How many of them always end up being on Sabbath? Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to go to. And I used to justify going to them because it was work-related and God gave me the work and you know everything else. But you know, I've come to realize that Sabbath is Sabbath no matter where I am and what I'm doing, and that I need to honor it in a different way. And that's why I was so grateful and so happy with the way Sabbath went last week when I was away. I won't say it's the first time I've not gone to a conference on a Sabbath day when I was supposed to, but it's one of few. And the blessing that I received for giving that up was amazing. I also am going to throw Eric under the bus and give a little bit of preview when he was teaching today. This is a teaser for you all to come back next week. How many looked at the Sabbath school lesson this past week about God's love? How many kind of read through it or studied it or whatever? Well, Eric let it out that he was skipping over some portions of it and not going into as much detail because next week when he brings us the Sabbath, the sermon on Sabbath, my bet is he's going to be preaching about God's love and what it means to us. So that's a little teaser for you to remember that we have another speaker who's going to be bringing us a little bit more. I won't ask him to tell us about it, but be here if you can, okay? I'm also going to say that I'm so happy to see Claire today. She's been on my mind and in my prayers for weeks. You look great, and I'm glad to have you back. We missed you. I don't know if your ears were ringing, but I think we talked about you every week since you've been gone. So, and praying for you every week since you've been gone, so I'm grateful for that. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to share for now? Yes, Kai. I think I would refer that until we have our circle downstairs. What I will ask is I'm going to put Martha on the spot, and I'm going to ask Martha if you would pick a hymn out for us, or maybe Annette can pick out a hymn for us, and we can sing another praise to God. Do you have a song picked out, Annette?
You want me to pick out a song?
I'm going to have Annette pick it out, and if you will play for us, we will sing.
Okay. 329, Martha.
329, Martha.
Let's sing hymn number 329. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. Last first.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the heart is a depth of mercy. Redemption.
was a preacher in a church who liked to hear himself talk. So every weekend, he would preach long sermons. And there was a lovely elderly lady in the church who would sit right down the center, right under the clock, like the one you have on the wall. And at a certain time each week, she would look up at the clock and look at the preacher. And she would do that several times until he was finished. And he got annoyed with it. So he decided he was going to fix her business. One weekend she got to church and she looked up to see what time it was. And the clock was missing. And in its place was a picture of the preacher. And she said, "Lord, have mercy on us. For he has taken down time and put up eternity." I want to see eternity come. What about you? But I'll try not to usher it in today. At least not in my preaching. Amen? I am blessed to be here with you. It is good to be here. One of the things I noticed this morning, Elder, is that we have more of the Woods family than the human family worshiping. But at times like this, I go on a promise that Jesus made, where two or more are gathered touching anything concerning him, he is right in their midst to bless them. So the Woods family will have to remain silent while the human family praise God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me just say thanks to Elder Langley for extending this invitation to me and your pastor. Tell him that I am grateful that he allows someone as lowly as me to occupy his pulpit. It is a privilege when somebody will trust you to speak for them. It's even a greater privilege when God will trust you to do it. So I'm grateful today. I feel blessed because I'm in the presence of somebody who's 80 years old. And I'm looking forward to the time when an 80-year-old person will be considered but a youth. For the Bible says that the old shall run like the deer. Their strength will be renewed like the youth. So I'm looking forward to that time. I'm looking forward to when Jesus comes. In the prayer this morning, my wife was mentioned, you know, it's a crazy time of the year for me. I go to work when my boys are sleeping and I get home when it's past their bedtime. Yesterday morning at 5:30, I was in the living room praying and trying to be quiet so that I would not wake them up. But then the phone rang. And I stopped and I said, "Lord, who is so audacious to call my house at this time in the morning?" Mark you, I was praying. I said, "I have a good mind to take the phone and give them a good piece of my mind." A good piece. Christians only have good minds, right? Before I got to it, my wife did, and I heard her saying, "Okay, I'll be right there." A friend of ours called. She was having labor pains. Labor pains. My wife said to me, "Well, you know, in 2 minutes, she gave me enough instruction to last for an hour and a half." You know, she had the good sense to do all or most of what she instructed me to do before leaving home. Because she knows how forgetful I can be. And she was at the hospital until 8 o'clock last night, and this morning, we got up. She was dressed before I was. But she said, "Kirk, my head hurts. I feel weak." I said to her, "Sweetheart, as much as I'd like to see you in the congregation today, it may be best to stay home." I miss her. I miss her. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I miss her. One of the great fears that preachers have is that they could be preaching and they're not in tune with their congregation. And it's difficult and embarrassing to stand here and speak to your congregant's elder and you're not in tune with them, you're not connecting with them. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have been in that situation. But there are always three persons that I know that I'm connecting with. My two little boys and my wife. When nobody else says amen, she's going to say it. When I get off the pulpit and I did not do such a good job and nobody gives me a hug or a greeting, my wife is going to hug me and she's going to say, it's going to be all right, son or honey. It's going to be all right. So I miss her. But I know there'll be amens today. And I know there'll be greetings today. For I'm among the people of God. Sister Rachel, it's good to see you. We miss you. Well, I was about to say you can come back home. But the land does look a little greener on this side too. Sister Annette, it's also good to see you. You know, when I ran into her about a week ago, somehow it never clicked in my mind that I'd be here today with you, even though I've had this invitation for about 3 months now. But it is good to be here. And it's good to see all of you. Brother Langley, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. I want to share something with you. Now, I have an article here. And as I was preparing for this message, I was doing some reading in history. And I found this thing. And folk put all kind of things out on the internet. And sometimes they don't put their names. So I don't know who wrote it. But it relates to an article that was carried in the Jamaica Gleaner on August 17, 2006. And I'm going to read one paragraph of that article for you, but I want to share with you a part of this other article because it relates so closely. It says, the morning of August 17, 1951, dawned crisp and clear. It began as a typical Jamaican day. In Kingston, there was a slight wind and a few intermittent clouds in an otherwise pristine tropical blue sky. All was beautiful and looking to remain so. By mid-afternoon, all that changed. The weather became oppressively hot and calm. You could hear a pin drop in the silence. The birds were quiet. Very few were flying. The sky was empty, even of the vultures that soared in normal times. Not a dog barked. The neighborhood seemed devoid of all animal sounds. Man-made noises like those of passing traffic seemed muted in anticipation. In this silence, I could hear people talking in houses several yards away. Although it was late afternoon, the sea breeze was absent. And if you're in Jamaica, you'll know that sea breeze. I miss it sometimes. No leaf on any tree near or small bungalow moved. The heat of Jamaica in August weighed more heavily than normal. I quickly raised a sweat in a short walk to the neighbor's house to check whether they had any more news. Early that day, announcements over the radio warned that Jamaica was in the path of Hurricane Charley. It was a full-blown Category 4 storm. It was expected to hit Kingston late that afternoon. The sky had become a multicolored display, predominantly of a violent red hue with shades of orange, emphasizing the shapes of apparently stationary but towering storm clouds. It was like nothing I had ever seen before or since. The violent colors were like those through an open door of a furnace. Yet, despite the threatening scene, there was no sign of wind, just unnerving calm and silence. As the sun set, the darkness descended with the rapidity of the tropics. There was no twilight at all. One moment there was the lurid scene of the bright skies of the setting sun amidst the threatening banks of cloud. In the next instance, all was complete darkness, apart from the glimmer of the few streetlights. Then, suddenly, the roaring started. It was like the sound of a huge express train thundering down between embankments. A rapidly rising wind was fighting its way towards us between the hills to the north of Kingston and the single mountain facing the harbor to the west. Standing beside the front door with the first blast of wind, when the first blast of wind slammed into the house, I was virtually thrown to the ground. It was as if I had been pushed by a giant hand. I could barely crawl to my hands and knees. Such was the strength of the initial gusts. Chaos quickly followed. The rain started coming down in torrents, and the noise of the wind and the wildly thrashing trees drowned everything else out. I was hard put to get off the concrete surface. The raging wind was making my breathing difficult. The article that I mentioned earlier, published in the Jamaica Gleaner Thursday, August 17, 2006. The article was entitled Remembering 51 Storm. 154 persons dead, 2,000 injured, 25,000 homeless, rampant looting. The first paragraph of the article said, On this day 55 years ago, Hurricane Charley swept across Jamaica with mind-boggling force that within a matter of hours left the entire island in complete shambles. With 110 miles per hour winds and rains that reach 17 inches in Kingston, the 1951 hurricane left 154 persons dead, more than 2,000 injured, and an estimated 25,000 persons homeless. It was the worst natural disaster to hit Jamaica since the great earthquake of 1907. The rest of the article states that the damage amounted to more than $55 million. Back in 1951. Pray with me. Holy God and Father in heaven, your children are gathered for a blessing from you. And I pray today, Lord, that you will not disappoint them. I pray that that promise, my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I intended to, will be fulfilled. Lord Jesus, may you be heard through me today. May you be seen in me. May your name be glorified. And once again, may your children be blessed. Amen. Let the storm come. Let the storm come. I grew up listening to stories of Hurricane Charlie from my father and his peers. They referred to it simply as the storm of 51. It wasn't until I became an adult and my curiosity got the better of me that I discovered that the storm of 51 was the powerful Hurricane Charlie that reached speeds of more than 135 miles per hour at times, that left damage beyond compare throughout the Caribbean. I grew up listening to that, the stories about that storm. And as a child, I was mesmerized by my father and his peers as they told colorful stories about what happened during that storm. I sat at times with my mouth open wide, my eyes bulging out of my head. I wanted to hear everything they had to say about the storm of 51. But after a time, as I grew out of childhood into teenage years, the stories that they told about Hurricane Charlie lost their flavor. And I wanted to experience my own storm. I wanted my own story that I could share with open mouth, eye-popping, mesmerized youngsters. I wanted my own story. And even though a hurricane is formed in the Caribbean every year, I was not blessed to experience one. So I would wallow in self-pity, and I would listen as my father and his peers talk about the storm of 51. Outwardly, I pretended like I was listening because I had to do it, or the rod of correction would find its way to my hide. But inwardly, I would cringe and I would wish that they would just stop. And I would pray for the day when I would have my own storm. I found myself at times praying, Lord, the storm that they said is forming in the Caribbean, let it come. Let the storm come. But years went by and no storm came my way. Until 1988, we heard on the news that Hurricane Gilbert had formed in the Caribbean. And this one did not look like any normal hurricane. This one had pulled out its compass, had charted its course, had set its sight on my island home, and was bearing down on Jamaica. And suddenly, my dad dug into his war chest of stories. His peers got liquored up. They dug up war stories and they polished them. And they gathered on the side of the streets and on in front of the shops. And they started telling the stories again. And once again, I was compelled to live the agony of listening to these stories. And it got so gruesome at times that I would express outwardly my hope that the storm would not come. But inwardly I would pray, Lord, let the storm come. Give me my storm. And so that evening of September 8th, I believe it was, I went to bed hearing the newscaster say, tomorrow this time, we may be on the air or we may be off the air, but we will have been hit by Hurricane Gilbert. I slept and I woke up, and the first thing I did before I even prayed was to dash outside looking for my storm. The sky was overcast, unusually overcast. There was a breeze that was not as gentle as I was accustomed to having it. The air was very damp, and inwardly, my excitement was building. My storm is on the way. Finally, I'll have a storm. Finally, I'll have a story to tell. The hours dragged by slowly, with just a little rain, just a little picking up of the breeze, just a few leaves blowing off the trees. And somewhere around noon, I started thinking, I don't understand what these old folks are afraid of. This is the storm. And then Daddy said, boy, the storm is here. And the rain came down. The wind started to blow. More leaves were flying. Small branches were breaking off trees and were flying all over the place. And I was staying close to my dad. And then somewhere around 1:40, thereabouts, I believe it was, it stopped. And I said in my mind, is this it? Is this it? They had said on the news that this storm would be worse than the storm of 1951. Is this it? And in my disappointment, I was audacious enough to say to my father, I can't believe that this is what you grown folks were afraid of. But Daddy gave me that look that said, young bird no know a storm. You would know that. Young birds don't know storm. And he said, boy, hush. Be quiet. You see, before every storm, there is this calm. There's this strange calm. And about 20 minutes later, it came on. And Daddy said to me, son, the eye of the storm is passing over now. And the gentle, what I call a gentle breeze, gave way to tremendous wind. You could hear the wind howling through trees. I felt like I was watching a very scary movie. I looked outside and I saw zinc sheets lifted from house and flew magically through the air. I watched satellite dishes like flying saucers taking off. I watched, unfortunately, as a cow went sailing through the air. I watched trees breaking. Some trees that I thought would withstand the hurricane, because they were inflexible, they broke. And at one point, the house that we were in shook so violently that I thought it would become our tomb. And when that happened, Daddy reached out and he grabbed my hand and he said, boy, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get to our neighbor's house. Theirs is stronger than ours. Come with me, son. And Daddy dashed through the door with me in hot pursuit. And as I got out there, I realized that my young body was no match for Hurricane Gilbert's strong winds. I found myself being blown back and crying out in fear, Dad, help. And Daddy reached out and he grabbed my hip. He said, stay close to the ground, son, and run with me. Stay right behind me. And with his bigger, stronger body, he shielded me from the wind. And I ran behind him until we got to our neighbor's house. And there we weathered the storm. I learned some lessons from Hurricane Gilbert. And if you permit me, I will share about five of them with you today before you start looking at the clock. Lesson number one. If you are to survive a storm, you need an experienced person with you. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go across the lake to the other side. Let us pass over onto the other side, he said in verse 35. And then Jesus had the audacity to fall asleep in the boat, in the church. And these were seasoned fishermen. The Bible tells us that as they were going across, that the wind picked up. As a matter of fact, verse 37 puts it this way. It says, there arose a great storm of wind. This was no ordinary wind. This was no ordinary storm. It was a great storm. And Jesus was asleep. And it tells us that the disciples did everything they could. Everything they could. They completely forgot about the sleeping man in the back of the boat. They did everything they could to keep their boat afloat in the storm. And when they tried everything and it had failed, somebody had good sense to turn to Jesus, and I say amen. Somebody turned around. What I like to term the barbaric question, Lord, Master, don't you care? Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we find ourselves going through circumstances and situations that cause us to stop and ask, does Jesus care? But the answer comes back to us, oh, he cares. I know. He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, when the nights are dreary, I know my Savior cares. When they called on him, the Bible said that Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the storm. If you're gonna be in a storm and survive, you need an experienced person who knows a storm. Lesson number two. My father, when the wind would have blown me away, he used his body to shield me. My brothers and sisters, there is a storm called sin that the enemy of our soul has sent out for us. And on the wings of this storm is the curse of eternal death that's hanging over the human family. And Jesus, when he looked down and he saw the storm battling at full force towards the human family, he stepped out of eternity into time. Out of the vast universe that cannot contain him, into the earth which is like his footstool, he suspended himself between heaven and earth. With one hand, he grabbed hold of the throne of the Almighty Father. With the other almighty hand, he grabbed hold of the human family. He gave his body as a shield to shield the human family.
He gave his body to be bruised, to be bruised, so that would not suffer from the stripes of sin. He gave himself our sins. With his stripes we're healed. Isaiah chapter 53, I love the way the prophet puts it. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And thank God, I praise God, with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. With his own body, my brothers and sisters, Jesus placed himself right between us and the storm, used his body to be bruised, to be broken, that we may live. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. By his stripes we're healed. Lesson number three that I learned. My daddy said to me that day, son, stay behind me and follow me, and I'll get you to safety. My brothers and sisters, during and after our storm, Jesus reassures us, refocuses our attention, and redirects us onto the rock that the wind blows us off of. He said to the disciples, after rebuking the wind and calm in the sea, he said to the disciples, why were you afraid? I believe, my brothers and sisters, that there's a purpose behind every storm. Which takes me to lesson number four. You see, the devil sends storms to create destruction. The devil sends storms to create destruction. The devil sends storms to blow a course. Jesus had said to the disciples, let's go on the other side. There's a mission over there for us to fulfill. There was a demoniac waiting on the other side. There was a man who was chained with a circumstance of sin that needed to be delivered. There was a purpose on the other side. And the devil knew that if Jesus got over there, that he would be a defeated foe. And so he sent the storm to blow the little boat off course. He sent the storm with the hope that it would turn the boat over. He sent the storm to distract the disciples. He sent the storm to create chaos. But I believe that though Satan sends storms for a purpose, God allows them for a purpose. I believe that God allows storms to come in our lives so he can give us a richer experience. I believe he allows storms to come in our lives so that when we have tried everything and have failed, we will turn our focus to him. The disciples tried everything they could, and they couldn't weather the storm. And when their energy was sapped, when their efforts had failed, when their faith had given up, they turned to the Lord who was asleep in the boat and said, Lord, help us. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I don't know what the storm may be, but I'm saying to you today, if you are going through a storm and you've tried everything and there seems to be no relief, try Jesus. Try Jesus. Try Jesus. God allows the storm to get our attention and to draw us closer to Him. In Jeremiah 29 contains a promise that I love. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." My brothers and sisters, God has a plan for each and all of us. And His plans at times may involve taking us through a rough, trying process. He never said we would not experience hurricanes. He never said there would be no storms. But in Isaiah, He made this promise. When you go through the waters, He says, it will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. He made this promise in Isaiah. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be by your side. I will be with you. Psalms 51. As a matter of fact, let me finish Jeremiah. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. As you go through your storm, look at verse 12. It says, "Then shall you call upon me." You shall do what? I love this. When you're going through your storm, "then shall you call upon me, and you shall go pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Now let me say this, my brothers and sisters. There's a storm called. And sometimes we look at ourselves. We look at where we have been. We look at the things that we have done. And we ask the question, how can I call upon God? We doubt His promises. We doubt His love. We doubt His care. But my brothers and sisters, God knows everything about us. And still He says, when you call, I will hear you. What a God we serve. Amen. What a God we serve. Sometimes the way we treat each other as human beings, we wrong each other or someone wrong us, and we write them off. We want to have nothing to do with them. But not so with God. When we wrong Him, or even though we have wronged Him, He still says, call, I will hear, I will answer you. And He goes on in verse 13, He says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And I love this. The promise in the first part of verse 14. "I will be found of you, saith the Lord." No matter what your circumstance may be, no matter what your storm may be, Jesus said, when we call, He will hear us. When we search for Him, we will find Him. It's a promise that we can take to the bank. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. I love the book. David wrote these words under inspiration. He said, in verse 15, he says, "O Lord," let's get there. We're getting there. Here it is. "And call upon me in the day of" what? "The day of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Look at Psalm 91, verse 15. Psalm 91, verse 15. It said, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." What is your storm today, my brothers and sisters? Lesson number 5.
Jesus will get us through the storm to our final destination. When you read Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, it tells us that they came into the course of the Gadarenes. Jesus had said to them, let's go over there. The devil tried to destroy them. He tried to drive them off course. He tried to lose, to get them to lose focus. But Jesus eventually got them over there. My brothers and sisters, I believe that God has called us on a journey. I believe that we all have a purpose in life. I believe that as a church, God has a mission for us. I believe that we will be among those who will be glorified when the saints are glorified with Christ. But I also believe that the enemy doesn't want us to experience that. I believe he wants to divide and conquer. I believe he wants to destroy. But I believe that Jesus will defeat him and get us to the other side. Philippians 1 verse 6. My final passage this morning. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. You need not fear the storm, my brothers and sisters, for Jesus will get you through it. Dottie Rambo wrote this song, and I wish I had a voice to sing it today, but I'll read the words to you. She wrote these words. She said, I feel the touch of hands so kind and gentle. They are leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught on earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered within the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals, come home, my child, it's the last mile you have trod. I'll fall asleep and awake when Jesus calls me, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered within the arms of God. He walks with me, and none on earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. I don't know what your storm is, but let him come. I don't know what storms are looming on the horizon, but let him come. Let the storms come, for with the storms will come Jesus. As you experience your storm, do you want Jesus to walk with you? As you're experiencing your storm, do you want Jesus to walk with you? You're here today. I'm going to say, Lord, I've got a storm in my life. The storm may be an unfaithful husband. It may be a nagging wife. It may be those loggerhead kids that just won't behave themselves. It may be the church board. Could even be your pastor. I think you have a good pastor, by the way. Could be someone on your job. I don't know what your storm is, but you're here today and you want to say, Lord, I've tried everything I could and I can't do it anymore. Help me. Just raise your hand.
Praise God, he sees those hands. Father, your children are bowing before you now, Lord. We have the promise in your word that through the storm you will be with us. We have the experience of yesteryears where you were with others. And we're raising our hands to say, we can't weather the storm alone. Lord Jesus, there's a huge storm looming on the horizon. And we cannot face that storm alone, Lord. We need you. So I pray this afternoon that you will draw near to your children, that you will cover them under your almighty wings, that you will circle your children with your almighty arms, Lord, and shelter us. Shelter us, Lord. Shelter us, Lord. And bring us safe through to the other side. In Jesus' name.
Shall we stand?
Will your anchor hold in the storm of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong ties lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or remain?
We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. If to save me more dwell the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cables fast from his heart to life can defy the blast whose strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers tell that the reef is near. Though the tempest rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark overflow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will surely hold in the floods of death when the waters fall till the latest breath. On the rising tide it can never fail, our hopes abide within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in
Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.